access.
Hi, this is Ann Mueller. I am a former ambassador and current member with DanceWire in Portland, Oregon, and I'm here with Zach Carroll, a current ambassador, and it's April 10th, 2018. We're going to talk a little bit about Zach's life and career in dance as part of the DanceWire Ambassador Series. So welcome.
Thank you.
Okay, so to get started, can you give me an overview of all of your current titles and activities in the dance world?
So, student, apprentice, dancer, director, artistic director, coach, mentor.
Definitely.
That's about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great. And then right now, tell me the different places where you're working and what your focus is in each of those places.
So currently I'm working at Bodyvox Dance Center, where I danced for many years, and I teach open class there and company class. And then I work at the Portland Ballet, where I teach student class and open class.
Okay, and I'm going a little off script here, but I just want to ask, how long have you been a part of the dance community here in Portland?
Originally, I came in 1990, and I was here for 2 years. And then I left and came back in 2000 and have been a member since.
Okay.
So 20 years.
Wow.
If you give and take, you know.
Yeah. And what drew you back to Portland?
When we moved here, we fell in love with Portland as a city. And when we were in Oregon Ballet Theater, we were there for 2 seasons, and it was time for us to move on. But we always wanted to come back, and we had made good friends. So we kept coming back every summer. And at that time, I was also friends with Jamie Hampton, who was he's one of the directors of Bodyvox, and he was setting Wild Man on Oregon Ballet Theater when I was there, and we had a real connection and affinity for each other. So he kept inviting me to join Bodyvox every time I came back in the summer, and then it became 5 years from now, 4 years from now, on and on. So when I got back, it was a kind of a natural progression to join them.
Great. So wait, you had met Jamie prior to working with him at OBT?
I had. I worked with Jamie my second year at Oregon Ballet Theater. No, my first year at Oregon Ballet Theater. He came and set a piece called Wild Man, and he was fresh off the presses from Palabolas,
right,
where he had been in Momix.
Right.
He had been in Momix and then had a group called ISO.
Right.
So he did this epic piece called Wild Man that I was actually able to recreate on Bodyvox 2. Oh my God.
18 years later?
Yeah. Right, long time.
That was great to see that. I wasn't around when it was done the first time, but I knew this sort of history and a lot of the original people, so that was really fun.
Yeah, it was cool.
Okay, so let's go to the beginning of your journeys in dance. Like, when did you start and how did you start, and just give us like an overview of your training.
So I started late for dance. I was in high school, and actually after high school, I was at University of Arizona, and my dad was an English professor there. And so I was obviously an English major, right?
Right.
And at the time, my now wife was my friend then, my friend Anne, also an Anne. And she was dancing with Arizona Dance Theater in Tucson, and they needed boys for the Nutcracker. And I had just gone through my first semester at University of Arizona, and I was not happy as an English major, but I didn't know what I wanted to do. And she said, well, what we need is, we need boys for the Nutcracker. Would you want to do it? And I hemmed and hawed. I was like, ballet, eh. She said, there are a lot of girls. And I said, oh, hey. So I went, and I found out that it was just, it was the most beautiful thing I'd ever seen. It encompassed everything I wanted to do. I had been an athlete when I was a kid. It was physical, it was, you know, emotional, it was artistic. It seemed like it could be spiritual if given the chance.
Right.
So I went full in, and I decided I'm going to be a dancer, much to the chagrin of my parents at the time. So I was at University of Arizona when I discovered this. I was on winter break. And fortunately for me, there was a man named George Zorich teaching at the University of Arizona, who had been a star with Ballet Russe de Monte Carlo.
Fabulous.
And he was, when I first asked him, I said, Mr. Zorich, you know, I want to be a dancer. Is it possible? And he said, no. Because, you know, he's straight up. And
right.
He said, you know, it's too late. And but I was challenged. And so I started working really hard. And he took me under his wing. And that was the beginning of things. And that's how we started. Yeah.
Okay, I'm curious. I was thinking about this conversation, and I wanted to ask you this because a lot of the guys that I've danced with have sort of faced struggles with the stereotypes about being a male in dance, and particularly like how that affected them as a young person. And I'm wondering if, since you came at it a little bit more mature and older, if you felt like you faced some of the same stuff, or maybe you felt like you passed over that because you were pretty much an adult.
No, that's a good question. I, you know, at first I was, when I started training at University of Arizona and I was studying dance, I was living in a house that my mom had moved out of because she was moving to New York after retiring, right? And so I'm living in Tucson, Arizona, going to the U, taking dance class mostly with George Lurch. And I had roommates. And the roommates used to give me flack about it. Oh, you're going to go twinkle toes. And then I had a lot of friends who are girls who are dancers that would start come visit the house. And then suddenly they changed their tune. They're like, wow, you know. And I said, well, yeah, there's, you know, there's a lot of beautiful people in this field.
Yeah.
So that was my personal experience. But I have encountered that a lot as a teacher.
Yeah.
And I know that I've kind of made it my mission to blow that out of the water,
right,
that stereotype,
right. Yeah.
For the athleticism and, you know, to get kind of the monkey off the back of the male dancer.
Right, right.
I think now it's probably less prevalent, that making fun of somebody in the
right.
arts for that way.
Yeah.
But at the time, and I've definitely dealt with some students who were coming under that kind of pressure from family and friends.
Right.
So, yeah, I think it's still a conversation to be had.
Right. It's still a very real thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, this is kind of a deep question, but let's dive into it. So what does dance mean to you in your life, and what has it meant to you in your life?
I think for me, it gave me a direction and something to go full into. And I was really fortunate in my career. I went from University of Arizona to the National Ballet School in Toronto on a scholarship within a year of starting.
Wow.
And I got a job right off the bat, and I was able to do leading roles off the bat, which was great. And it was all, you know, a testament to the training that I had, and I think my commitment.
And your grit.
And my work.
Yeah,
my work. And
yeah.
I've just had such amazing experiences of seeing the world, of being... Of seeing great parts of humanity through the arts, of seeing how arts can transform, and my art in particular, but also being exposed to other arts, because, you know, dance, we have musicians, or
visual
you
arts.
Have singers,
yeah.
or visual arts, and seeing the power of art to really unite people, which is great. And also, as a performer, how there's this sense of when you have a really good show, and I say this like, meaning that I've had maybe 10 great shows in my career when magic happens, and there's this sort of reciprocity with audience
yeah.
and musician, and magic happens.
Yeah.
And so we all become greater than the sum of our parts through
right.
art. So, yeah, I'm a big fan.
I love that you brought the audience up. I had a conversation with some friends a couple of weeks ago about that, just about the power that an audience has to affect the outcome for the performers,
right.
and that like they may not really realize that they have that power, but they're all there collectively, either, you know, giving energy to the moment or
right.
not.
For the good and the bad.
Yeah,
I was going to say,
yeah.
the dead audience, we're like,
right.
oh, this is really tough. There's energy in the room, and it's
yeah.
me. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, very cool. So we've talked a little bit about challenges that you faced in your pursuit of dance kind of starting later, but I wonder, well, and with the, you know, sort of stereotypes, but I wonder if there's other challenges that you've faced throughout your career.
Yeah, some. I mean, for me, the hardest part of the professional dance arena was sometimes pressure and politics don't bring out the best in people,
mm-hmm.
and how to navigate that in the midst of just dancing.
Right.
If it could all be just dance, wouldn't that be great? And
yeah.
the hummingbirds would come out, and it was sunny every day.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But navigating politics was always hard for me, and I kind of refused to do it. And I don't know that sometimes to my detriment, but I didn't like to leave things implied that were damaging.
Right.
And so I'd always try to shine a light on it. Whether it was with a dancer or a director, I'd speak up and say, this is what I think is going on and I can't do it, or I don't like it, or let's talk about it. And so that's always been a challenge, the politics of it. And, you know, probably in any scenario, right? In any business whatsoever.
Right.
But dancers somehow, because it's so personal and you're so physical and it's really like a family. It's like having, you know, a crappy cousin or something.
Right.
And you want, you know, and they're your family.
Right.
So you need to deal with that.
You have to find a constructive way to work together.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. And it's so nonverbal, obviously, but I think that nonverbal nature like carries over for many people into how they deal with one another interpersonally.
Yeah.
So I'll bet that, I imagine that you probably felt in the minority as being a really outspoken person.
For sure. And then, and kind of as a result, I became an advocate for a group of people who didn't want to get busted
right.
or whatever.
Right.
And yeah, but for some reason, I've always been willing to kind of be that person.
Yeah.
So
that's brave.
I suppose.
It
or
is.
Foolish. One or the other. Yeah.
So you talked a little bit about your first teacher and your wife who sort of pulled you into this world initially. But other than those two, or if you want to talk more about them, we'd love to hear more. But I'm curious to know about the people or resources or opportunities that you feel have helped you the most throughout your career.
So I'll go back to George Zorich, who was he was such a gifted artist, and he really instilled in me right off the bat that ballet in particular, which is what I was studying with him, was not an execution, that it was an art.
Yeah.
And everything physical was because it was an expression of the art. So I went into it with that mindset, which I think really served me well, because I realized that it was all about what you were doing as a performer, which was great. I think that, you know, I've had choreographers over the years that have really helped me and believed in me when I was kind of the low man on the totem pole. Mm-hmm. Val Camproli from San Francisco Ballet is one of those. He gave me a lot of opportunity. Ben Stevenson, who used to direct the Houston Ballet also. You know, artistic directors Jamie Hampton and Ashley Rowland have been huge advocates and so kind and generous with me, trusting me with their work to set it, trusting me with their second company when I directed that.
Over a span of like 20 years now,
over
right?
the span of 20 years,
yeah.
That association and to have and realize also that a dance community, a dance group can be really positive. There doesn't necessarily need to be toxicity in
right,
it.
Right.
Which, you know, in big ballet companies, that's a hard thing to pull off.
Yeah.
But in a smaller modern company like Bodyvox, it's not so much.
Yeah.
So, and I'm more an advocate of that. I know there's an old school way of training that is demeaning and, you know, and it's effective. Fear and...
To a degree.
Yeah, to a degree. You know, fear and intimidation do cause reaction. But I think it's better to bring out self-assurance and self-belief.
Right.
Because then you train an artist.
Right.
And everybody's different, right? Everybody has something unique to themselves to bring in, even in the midst of how we all study the same tendus.
Right.
So.
Yeah, that's beautiful. I mean, if you're functioning from a place of fear, you're probably not going to be a very spontaneous performer.
You think? Maybe so.
You know? Okay, so kind of where you are right now in your career, like how do you see your current stage and what do you see moving forward? What goals do you have moving forward?
Right now, I'm kind of in a position of, because I work in different organizations and I deal with a lot of different dancers through, especially open classes that I teach, I have sort of become a catalyst for a lot of dancers. I seem to connect dancers to jobs and dancers to choreographers because I just know so many people at this point. I have been reluctant in the past to be only with one group. And I don't know if that's necessarily a positive thing, but I've worked with a lot of different people, and I kind of like that.
Yeah.
You know, as a teacher, I feel like I, and we all say this, I wish I had known when I was performing what I know now. I feel like I'm in a place as far as my experience level to better guide than I ever have been able to in the past a dancer, and not just the technique of it, but the life of it.
Yeah.
You know, and to... And to be to participate in somebody's journey as an artist, which I think is really cool.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's something you can come, you know, out of the gates doing. It's
right.
Just you have to get some a lot of water under your bridge.
Right.
And Lord knows there's a lot of water under my bridge.
So you've been a real connector of so many people.
I have been a connector. It's
and
interesting.
A mentor of so many people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm like an unlabeled agent.
The best kind.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
So I guess we kind of covered that a little bit, but would you like to talk a little bit more about the long-term vision you have for your work and, you know, how you want to impact people in this dance community and beyond?
Yeah, I mean, like the DanceWire thing is cool because I connected up with a whole bunch of people who are in it, right? And
yeah.
in different disciplines than mine.
Yeah.
And you realize the one thing I've always loved about this field is that you meet a dancer and there's this kind of, you're simpatico.
Yeah.
You know, just, you're dancers, you get it.
Right.
And there's this, there's an affinity. And I think I like that. I like to be parts of groups. I like to go see shows. I like to deal with dancers. I like to, I think it's more of the same of what I've been doing, connecting people and training people. And I think I have the reputation in town of being the not intimidating ballet teacher. Like, I get a lot of modern dancers who come in and they're like, oh, you're Zach.
They don't think you're going to judge them.
They don't think I'm going to give them a hard time. And it's true. I don't,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Because I think I've in open classes, I have, you know, 75-year-olds
yeah.
to professionals. But anybody can get something out of it, you know. Ballet's the discipline I teach, but in any form of movement, you know.
Yeah.
It's you can make progress and become a better person.
Well, that's a huge testament to your skill as a teacher that people coming from all these different age groups and backgrounds and skill levels all come to you and have a really positive, energizing learning experience.
Well, thank you, Annie.
You're so welcome. Okay, so since you've been around the Portland dance scene for over 20 years, I would like to hear I guess first how you see the current dance scene, but maybe part of that is how you've seen it evolve over the years.
Yeah, so there've kind of always been, for the dance scene, there's been usually one or two. I mean, Oregon Ballet Theater has kind of been the constant since I've been in town. Body Vox is the last 20 years, so that's been pretty constant
yeah.
too. And then there's some others. There's, you know, there's Polaris Dance Theater has been around a long time now. There's a lot of the different modern community has been doing stuff, conduit dance, a lot of project-based stuff. I feel like since Portland has grown exponentially and people have come from out of town, there's more room for different kinds of dance
mm-hmm.
and to be attended. You know, like
yeah.
AWOL Collective, they're doing something in the park where they're swinging from fabric or whatever. And then you go see Swan Lake,
yeah.
you know, and you can do all that in a weekend,
yeah.
which is pretty amazing. I think that it's funny because Portland's big enough but small enough. That's how I describe it.
Right.
In the small enough aspect of it, I think that I'm an advocate of different groups being connected. I don't think that there's room for, in a town our size, for elitism,
right?
You know, and depending, I think that can creep in. You know, people get cliquish not only
right.
as dancers but in companies, and I don't think it serves the artistic community
yeah.
as a whole.
Yeah.
So I'd say that's maybe happening more.
maybe because there's more groups.
Maybe because there's more
yeah.
groups and there's more, you know, and there's more isolation. There's more venues.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, things that connect dancers and dance organizations, I think, are good. I think it's a good thing. I think we're stronger together.
Yeah.
Like Hillary said.
Stronger together.
Stronger together.
So I guess you touched on a little bit about what you feel is both fabulous and lacking in the current dance scene. So if you were to paint a picture of what you'd like to see happening here in the dance community within the next 10 years, what would that look like?
Well, I would like to see more funding. You know, that's always the bottom line in our country. I think there's some really, really generous people in the arts here, you know, and the kind of the big names, Schnitzer and so on.
Right.
Hampton, I'll say, I'll throw in there. I think that collaboration is, as I was talking about before, is maybe the key to that, you know, bringing from different funding from different sources, collaborating artistically. I did this thing with Oregon Valley Theater when I was dancing with Body Vox. I'd actually retired from Body Vox for a time because my kids were small and I was missing a lot. And so I took a little hiatus, and they brought me back in doing this show called Dance United that you might have been part of.
Yeah, I sure was.
Yeah. So Dance United was, it was a thing that Oregon Valley Theater did, and it was basically because Oregon Valley Theater was having trouble. And so they threw out the SOS.
Yep.
And everybody came. And did it. All these companies came, modern companies, ballet companies. And it was super cool.
Yeah.
And I thought, why don't we do this all the time? Not to raise money for any struggling group, but to raise money.
Just to do it.
Just to raise money and then have like a kitty that everybody gets little money. And depending on the size, you know, I mean, I know that would be fraught with difficulties, but, you know, possible.
Yeah.
I think that people want it. I think a lot of people want to support the arts, but they don't know where to send their check.
Right.
So I'd like to see more of that. I'd like to see more kind of community support of art in general.
Yeah, and I think you're right that a sort of festival type atmosphere has the ability to bring all of these groups together and expose an audience to the big diversity of what's going on in the dance world in town.
Absolutely. Throw in some brats and some beer, you're there.
Yeah.
And then it's a fest.
Awesome. Well, I'm out of questions for you. Is there anything else you'd like to say as we're creating this permanent record of... I know. It sounds so serious.
No, it's fun. Yeah, it's fun to talk about it. And you realize when you talk about your career, you're like, wow, it's been a while.
Right.
Going back in time. But no, it's like memory lane. It's nice.
Yeah. Well, just personally, I think you're a spectacular teacher and... presence in the artistic community here, and I thank you for all of the love and kindness and wisdom you have brought. So thank you.
I feel the same about you, Manny.
Thank you. Okay, sorry, I started again.
No.
Are you sure? Yes, we're sure.